Our Bible reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm reading all of the chapter. Now let's hear as hearing the word of God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, in another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would be the body? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, on these we bestow greater honour, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honour to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, their teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrators, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, do have your Bibles open at the passage we have just read. To a non-church goer, all the different denominations must be confusing. There is, in the Christian church, much diversity. Our differences, however, enrich the church rather than breaks her unity. The fact that we can enjoy fellowship with believers from traditions different to our own emphasizes the spiritual unity of the church. Physically, we may have different forms of worship, but spiritually, we are united. Now, the Lord Jesus, just prior to Calvary, prayed specifically for the unity of the church. In John 17:11, he prays for the apostles that they may be one, as we are one, speaking to the Father, praying that we would have the same unity as the Father and the Son have with each other. And in verse 21 of that chapter, he prays for us. He prays for today's church, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, that they also may be one in us. The Spirit unity of the church is at one and the same time real and also to be realized. The two things. It is real. It's something that is to be realized. So let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the first thing that this chapter is saying to us tonight is that all true Christians are united. And this for a number of reasons. The first reason is this: we are one through a common experience. We call it the new birth or regeneration. In verse 2, Paul speaks of your former condition. But now you worship the living and the true God. Your life has been transformed. You have a new nature through a new birth. Look down at verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. We are one through a common experience, the new birth. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. We are all children of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father. We belong together through a common experience. And then we belong together, verse 3, through a common belief. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now you notice Lord is printed in larger letters. It's the word used for God. To say Jesus is Lord is to acknowledge that Jesus is God. And Jesus is his human name. So we believe that Jesus is truly God and man. And we are united in this belief concerning Christ. We have the one Saviour. We have the one faith. We believe the same truths. We are one through a common belief. We are one through a common experience. We are one through common belief. And we are one, verse 13 again, through the one Spirit. The tense in verse 13 is, we were by the baptism of the Spirit constituted one body. At new birth, you were born into the body of Christ. We proclaim and we partake of the same life. We are partakers of the one Spirit, the same Spirit. Now go back to verse 3. You can utter the words, Jesus is Lord, but you cannot truly believe and confess them apart from the Holy Spirit. It is not a human discovery that Jesus is God as well as man. When Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. God had to do something for them to recognize Jesus for who he truly is. True believers are born of the Spirit, they live in the Spirit, and they are united through the one Holy Spirit. So the basis of church unity, the basis of Christian unity, is a common experience, a common belief, and the one Holy Spirit. Now, A.W. Tozer has written, Unity in Christ is not something to be achieved. It is something to be recognized. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So true Christians are united. So how does this work out practically? We are one. Let's think of it in terms of the local church. You, yes, you, are essential to the life of this local church. A number of places in Scripture, the church is likened to a body. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul again uses the analogy of the body. And there are reasons here as to why you are essential to the life of this local church. Now, if you are a Christian and not a church member, here are reasons why you should be. Now, is there someone here tonight? And you are a Christian. I'm going to give you reasons why you should be a church member. And if you are here tonight and you are a church member, there are reasons in this passage why you should be an active church member. So here's the first reason. You have a gift. This is taught in verse 11. Notice the word each one. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually. You see that? Each one is given a gift by God through the Holy Spirit. So if you're a Christian, you have a gift. So the first question you need to put to yourself on this anniversary Sunday is this: what is my gift? Or what are my gifts? You may have more than one. Have you identified it? And if you have, are you using it? Scripture tells us you have it. Do you know it? And are you using it? That's the first thing. The second thing from this passage is, your gift has been chosen for you by God. Look again at the end of verse 11. Distributing to each one individually as he wills. And go down to verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. So God has chosen your gift for you. So every member has its right place. Now, this is true of the physical body, and this is true of the church. Now, have you thought of this? You cannot be a passenger. Are you a passenger in this local church? This passage is teaching. Cannot be a passenger. If you are, it's to the detriment of everyone else in this church. If you are, the whole body suffers because you are not functioning. You are so equipped by God that the church cannot function properly without you. Now, recently, last month, Georgie and I were praying for someone in my stake. And I said to Georgie, Ron will be missing Peter. Now, Peter had recently been called home to glory. And Georgie said to me, a lot of people will be missing Peter. Peter was the treasurer. Peter was a deacon. Peter visited people in their homes. Peter regularly gave people lifts to the services. A lot of people will be missing Peter. Are you using your God-given gifts so that you will be missed around the church when God takes you home? Are you using it? You have a gift. It's been chosen for you by God. And God, who knows what is best for you, and what is best for the church, and what is best for his glory, has so equipped you. So give yourself totally to whatever it is God has equipped you for. And that leads to the next thing, slightly different to the second thing. Your gift comes from God. God has not only chosen your gift, but he is also the source of your gift. If you look down verses 4 to 11, if you just glance at these verses for a moment, these verses are teaching that your gift has its source in God himself. Now this is so important. The important thing about your gift is not its character, but its source. And the source is God. Verse 4, the same Spirit. Verse 5, the same Lord. Verse 6, the same God. Verse 8, verse 9, verse 11, the same Spirit. You, yes, you have been equipped by God. If you do not use your talent, God will take it from you and give it to someone already using their talent. And what a great loss that will be. You have a gift. Chosen by God, coming from God. Now then, verse 7, becomes more practical. Your gift is for the common good of the whole church, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, notice, for the profit of all. Now other verses say, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's not just for yourself. It's for everyone. You are to use your gift so that all may profit from it. You, each one of you, are essential to the life and the health of this local fellowship. For the church to be healthy, all must be pulling together. All must be exercising their gift. All must be pulling their weight and must be actively employed. So I ask again, are you exercising your gift for the common good, for the profit of others? I don't know, you must answer these questions yourself. A strong church is not in its size or in its numbers. It is where all the members are active, where all the members are involved. involve doing what God has equipped you for. You're not being asked by God to do something that you can't do. You are to do what He has fitted you to do. Not taking on someone else's role. Occasionally you hear of a person painting with their feet. Joni was like that. Because they've lost the use of their hands. And you marvel at their skill. But at times in church life, a person has to do what they are not equipped for. Because somewhere a gift is lying dormant. Now in verses 14 to 20, if you look now at these verses are teaching that every member of this local church has equal importance. Equal importance within the body. No one should feel inferior, and no one should be made to feel inferior. Let me read these verses again. Verse 14. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. You feel useless at times. Do you feel I have nothing to contribute? God has given you a gift. And He has given you that gift for the common good. You are to use it. Don't feel inferior. Use what God has equipped you with. No one should feel inferior. And no one should be made to feel inferior. And then move on to verses 21 to 26. Paul is now addressing a different group of believers in Corinth. He is teaching that no one is to feel superior. No one is to feel all important. That the church would close if it wasn't for me. There's none of that here. Listen now to these verses, 21 to 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much more rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, on these we bestow greater honour. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honour to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honoured, all the members rejoice with it. We all belong together. Now at Corinth, there were Christians, there were believers needing encouragement. They felt inferior. They felt they had nothing much to offer. They needed to be taught that they were every bit as important as those who had the more spectacular gifts. They were also believers who thought more highly of themselves than they should have. Humility is important in church life if unity is to be maintained and promoted. It says here that there may be no schism. Those who feel important need to take notice. That's where the schism may come. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. A great need for that today. We read this morning in Isaiah of the servant of the Lord that a bruised reed he will not break. And what is so feeble as a bruised reed? You can't lean on it. A smouldering flax he will not quench. What is so useless as smouldering flax? It gives neither heat nor light. But the Lord Jesus won't break the bruised reed, and he won't quench the smouldering flax. He deals gently with us. He deals patiently with us. We fail, but he doesn't cast us off. And we need this demeanor in our church fellowship. There will be failures, there will be disappointments, there will be hurts, but we are one. We suffer with those that suffer, we rejoice with those that rejoice. We belong together. We need to be like the servant of the Lord. We need to be, as Paul puts it here, completely humble and chaste and patient, bearing with one another in love. A little while ago, I was challenged afresh by the language of Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. What a great gifts. What a great calling. An apostle set apart for the gospel of God. But how does he view his gifts? A servant of Jesus Christ. Not even the servant of Jesus Christ. Just one of many servants of Jesus Christ. The interlinear New Testament reads, a slave of Jesus Christ. A great calling, great gifts, but a slave. See how Paul expresses it here in verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Each needs the other. The one is dependent on the other. What use would the tongue be without the lungs? Yet the lungs are never seen or heard or noticed. unless something goes wrong. You are unaware of them. They go about their work quietly. And often the believer who meets alone with God in private prayer does more for the glory of God and the blessing of his people and the life of the church than the member who is constantly in the public eye. Pride is to have no place in church life. Remember, the disciples argued about who would be considered the greatest, and Jesus rebuked them. He says, "You are not to be like those who want to lord it over others. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. I am among you as one who serves. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for his people." Servants, Paul, the slave of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the servant of his people. Philippians tells us he made himself of no reputation. Where preeminence is sought, there will be division. And churches that have known division I've often known little blessing. Just recently, I was at a church which has a membership of 3. 2 ladies and a man. Lovely church building. One of the ladies said to me, "We used to be a larger church, but we had trouble. And we've not had any blessing since." Where there is a poverty of spirit, blessed are the poor in spirit. Where each esteems other better than themselves, there you will be in harmony. Verse 25, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Pray. Pray as you go into another year from this anniversary, that you may be both and a harmonious and caring church, and that each member may be active to the benefit of the whole, and that the Lord of the church will add to you such as shall be saved and equip you for every good work. And I say sincerely, may God bless you. Amen.